What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. What's up, Jack?
Seventh heaven, baby.
Seventh heaven, seventh straight. Last time the Nets won seven straight was January of 2013, the first season in Brooklyn. So big win for the Nets, big win for the franchise. How you feeling, Jack?
It's an odd feeling, Nick, to be the most winningest team in the NBA in terms of streaks. You know, that was already the case with the sixth win against the Lakers. But to get the job done against the Chicago Bulls away from home in a back-to-back, you know, we're getting that, we're certainly making that back-to-back voodoo thing a thing of the past.
Yeah, before the win in New York, it was 33 straight losses on the second night of a back-to-back on the road. They've already won two sets of back-to-backs on this winning streak. Like you said, seven straight, grinded out against the Bulls tonight, 96-93. Before we break it down, just a reminder, check out the Buzz, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But Jack, get us started.
So, Nick, how did the Nets get it done in this 96-93 win? You know, very low scoring, seemed like a bit of a slog.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It was not the most entertaining game to watch. They really grinded it out. They weren't in rhythm. The Bulls' defense was aggressive, kind of took them out of them sets, especially the guards on the Bulls, you know, bothered D'Angelo Russell, bothered Spencer Dinwiddie for most of the game. But the Nets were able to kind of keep it close the entire game. When it got down the stretch, they made the extra plays, and they executed, and they pulled off the win. And this is something where, you know, they benefited from the eight-game losing streak, learning how to close out games, and the seven-game winning streak, getting that confidence to close out games. So just everything is clicking in terms of what you want to see from a team being good. You know, we've talked about this before, Jack. You know, you're not going to play great every night, but on a night where they didn't play great, they were still able to grind out the win.
Yeah, and that shows what good teams are able to do, and you know, the playoff sort of ready teams are able to do. But Nick, what was the cause of the offensive woes for both teams? So the Bulls scored 12 points in the second quarter, and then Brooklyn Nets not much better with 18.
Yeah, I think it was the teams weren't hitting shots. You know, the Bulls aren't the most talented offensive bunch. The Nets, on the other hand, looked a little sluggish. You know, there just wasn't another rhythm. Chris Dunn did a great job of kind of bothering D'Angelo Russell, and that kind of took the Nets offense out of rhythm from the start. They missed layups too as well. It was just, you know, a grind out game, and that's what the Bulls kind of wanted, and it kind of dictated to their pace, but the Nets were able to kind of handle it in the second half. They had some good stretches, but like I said, it was mostly in that fourth quarter they just grinded out, because you know, neither team was like knocking down shots. There wasn't great ball movement, nothing like that. It wasn't very pleasurable basketball.
So who were the key factors? Who were the key players for the Nets that were able to step up and get us the W?
Big game from Spencer Dinwiddie. And it came to the point where, like, you're not really surprised when he just drops 27, and that's what he did tonight. He had a couple big buckets in the fourth quarter. There was a play where he didn't get the foul call. He got really aggravated, and from there on out, you kind of saw him pick up the aggression, the confidence. Also, getting to the free throw line, which we've always talked about, is very important. 8 free throw attempts tonight, 8 of 15 from the field, 27 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Not very high assist total for D'Angelo or him, but like I said, the Bulls guards do deserve some credit for being very aggressive and making their life difficult.
And it seems as well the Bulls were only able to take 10 free throw attempts. So the Nets were obviously were keeping them out of the paint, or was it just the fact that Chicago wasn't too aggressive?
You know, the Bulls actually did a solid job of getting to the paint. The Nets did a good job of, you know, defending the shot without fouling. Some of it was the Bulls reacting to the Nets defense, taking those mid-range jumpers that the Nets give up, or pulling up for teardrops and things like that. So I don't think it was as much the Bulls. It was kind of just how the Nets played defense, and they just didn't get to the line, and they weren't quite as aggressive, like, attacking the rim.
Speaking of defense, I'm assuming Jared Allen was a big part of that. Looks like he had a nice performance.
Yeah, Jared Allen, he had a really, really hot start. 12 points, 5 of 5 right in the first quarter, including a poster over Wendell Carter. You know, obviously rebounding was great. He didn't necessarily get the blocks, but he had a presence in the paint, a couple really nice defensive plays. That second quarter, he kind of cooled down offensively. And then in the second half, the Bulls reacted to him differently, and they kind of forced him to pass instead of allowing him to roll to the rim.
Yeah, I mean,
and he did a great job making the right passes.
Yeah, and we know Jared Allen's strengths, and I know you've mentioned plenty of times, Nick, that he is quite a good passer, and especially, you know, when he sort of finishes the plays, you know, his hands have become a lot better in his second year. But it seems that turnovers are a little bit of an issue, but at the same time, Nick, we did win the points off turnovers battle 15-7, so were turnovers an issue for the Brooklyn Nets?
I mean, there was a couple sloppy, lazy passes that you'd expect in the second out of a back-to-back. I think it was more of a concern that the Bulls only had 8 turnovers, I believe, on the season. They're averaging like 16.2 per game. So they need to do a better job of putting more pressure on them defensively. They played okay defense, but it wasn't aggressive enough, especially for a team that doesn't necessarily have great ball handlers.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Dunn is an amazing Archie Diacono. I mean, not many people can even spell his name. I mean, it's an awesome name. I'm not going to throw any shade, but he's obviously not a ready-made NBA player or rotation player, and he's starting for the Chicago Bulls these days. But Nick, D'Lo, a little bit of a slump. Was that because of, we know Chris Dunn is quite a capable defensive guard?
Yeah, I give a lot of credit to Chris Dunn for the performance that he did on D'Angelo. Like I said, he just made it very difficult. They did an excellent job of fighting over screens, and that's did a better job in the second half and setting harder screens. But early in the first half and most of, the game, they did a great job getting over the screens, not giving up easy shots. D'Angelo's game wasn't bad, but it wasn't, great.
Yeah, and that's a good thing that we can say about D'Angelo, because I know when I'm going to be watching the replay, I've always said that D'Angelo's floor needs to become a lot higher for him to make an impact. And because we have two threats now and the third on the pine in terms of his injury with Caris LeVert, for him to still get double digit points, a couple assists here and there, a couple of rebounds, shows that he's learning. And his field goal percentage not horrible either, just couldn't hit the three ball. But Nick, I think a guy we didn't touch on enough on the last episode, especially in that fourth quarter, was Jared Dudley. How was he again tonight?
Yeah, Jared Dudley was solid, just doing the small things. He's not out there, making a ton of plays, but it's just the small things that don't, show up on the stat sheet. Being that veteran, I thought he had some solid possessions, especially when the Nets needed a little bit of momentum.
Yeah, and I mean, you slot into my DMs throughout the game, and I always love to check and see what's going on with the game. But you mentioned something to me about Damari Carroll. Do you want to let the fans know about that?
Yeah, I think the Nets really need to consider resting him on back-to-backs, at least until he's fully healthy. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I did pull them up in the middle of the game, and his shooting percentages were really bad. I think he was shooting like either 30% from the field and then like 20% on threes on the night of back-to-backs. And you could tell tonight he just didn't have it. He had a couple turnovers in the second half that really hurt the Nets. I just think he just doesn't necessarily have the conditioning at this point in the season coming back from injury to play back-to-backs. Maybe he needs to get worked in a little bit more, but I'm not sure. I think it would be something smart to consider when Trevion Graham and Caris LeVert are back.
Yeah, and even Allen Crabbe should be,
Yeah.
only days away as well. But Nick, I see as well that Shabazz Napier got some time, and obviously only 10 minutes. But what was the reason for his insertion?
This he got inserted in the end of the second quarter to kind of change things up, give some energy. It was a solid thing from Kenny. That's something we've been asking for, is for him to kind of try new things when things aren't working out. So we put him in the end of the second quarter. Maybe had a slight impact. He ended up starting the third quarter, where he wasn't very good. He just got abused defensively. So then he ended up not playing the rest of the game. But I think it was nice to just give him a chance to get some minutes and kind of spark the team. It didn't work out, but it's always nice to try.
Yeah, I mean, 3 assists in 10 minutes. I think, and he wasn't a negative in plus minus. Not many Nets were for that case, but I'm all for Kenny Atkinson trying different things, and I think a lot of his naysayers have gone into the wings, that's for sure. But I'd be remiss not to ask about everyone's favorite second round pick, Rodion Skuritsnik. 23 minutes from him, pretty efficient from the field, doing some okay things. Continues to get more minutes than guys like Jared Dudley and Damari Carroll, as we've advocated for. How was he?
Yeah, he had a solid game. He bounced back from the Laker game. He didn't end up starting the second half, but he ended up coming in the third quarter. It wasn't like he was benched. I think Kenny just wanted to try something new. He had some pretty big impact plays. He had a steal and a slam, which is kind of like his go-to thing that we've seen from in the past, and that's always a momentum changer. And I think it's something you love to see as a coach and as a fan. He also got up for a dunk, and I think that gave the Nets some momentum as well.
Yeah, I think he is a momentum changer in terms of how he can sort of just one play, it just feeds the energy throughout the rest of the roster. But any other notes from this affair? Seems like a not necessarily the most memorable matchup between these two teams.
Yeah, I'll just touch on Rondae, who I thought did a very good job on Lauri Markkanen, just made his life really difficult. And I think defensively, there was talk from some of the beat writers that last night after the game, he was shouting first team all defense.
I
So
heard
he's,
that.
yeah. So he's really trying to buy into that defensive role. And I thought he did a great job on Lauri Markkanen tonight. Also, Joe Harris had two of the biggest hustle plays of the game, getting on the ground, getting those loose balls. Joe Harris is just a guy you want on your team. He's just a supercharged role player that you love to have.
Yeah, my favorite player. I know a lot. I think I said on JBT, he's my favorite Harris in the league by a country mile. And there are plenty of them, Gary and Tobias. Shout out to you guys. But Nick, we'll obviously chat a little bit about the free agency news coming out, but I wanted to put forth to you, I was listening to a little bit of Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue when they were doing their 15 and 60. The Nets at that stage had a 37% chance to make the playoffs. It's gone up to 40 after tonight's win. What do you think of that number just off the top of your head?
Yeah, actually, I think that's like pretty close to the number I projected before the season. So shout out to me. But no, really, I think that the Nets actually, you can maybe argue it could be higher. Because you look at Detroit, they won tonight. Orlando caught a beating from the Spurs. You know, Charlotte's been up and down. So I think the Nets, I think, are pretty confident right now. And I look at it this way. Honestly, going to the season, as optimistic as I was about the Nets and possibly making the playoffs, I did not expect them to win seven straight. And seven straight wins is enough to change your season. It's just a big-time confidence booster, especially with wins coming over great teams. They beat the Sixers. They beat the Raptors. They beat the Lakers. They're bouncing back on back-to-backs. Like, the momentum is definitely there, and this is something I think the team will look back to all season long and kind of build up that confidence. I don't think we'll see a seven-game win streak from Detroit, Charlotte, or Orlando. I think that's going to help the Nets build confidence and separate themselves, and they can kind of use this going into 2019.
Yeah, even Miami as well with the injury to Goran Dragic is really going to hurt them in terms of who's going to be playing the point for them long-term. You know, Justice Winslow seems to be the sort of replacement, I guess. But yeah, Miami Heat have 31% chance. The Orlando Magic are at a 28% chance. And the other teams you mentioned, the Pistons seem to be quite favorable with 76% and the Wizards at 64%. So, I mean, the Hornets as well at 63% too. So if you're looking at those numbers, I think that those are relatively fair. Obviously, they're taking into account last season's form as well and projecting forward, but the Nets are a decent shot. I think 40% is quite fair. But Nick,
I'll say one thing. Sorry to cut you off, Jack, about Detroit. Yeah, like their play, I think, has been solid, but I think they have a lot of players in that team are injury prone. And knock on wood, we don't wish for injuries for anybody, but it is probable that somebody between Reggie Jackson or Blake Griffin are going to miss a stretch of games.
Yeah, and I completely get that. I think it's these odds can change so rapidly. You know, a week is a long time in the NBA. Who would have thought we'd been talking about Jared Allen blocking LeBron James and the Nets being a playoff contender after that eight-game losing streak? And speaking of, Nick, do you think Max Kellerman needs to put a bit of respect on our boy's name?
Yeah, I didn't get to see the whole clip. I've only heard about it. And honestly, I've said this before on The Outlet and other shows. You know, I don't really respect First Take or whatever that show is with Skip Bayless on Fox Undisputed. They're both necessarily made to just create hype. And they don't, there's no way you can cover all sports and watch all games. So I think it's just like a whole bunch of BS. So honestly, I don't even care. They don't even deserve minutes on the buzz.
I mean, we've got to give some love to our boy Stephen A. Smith, who was sharing at the Brooklyn Nets a little bit. So, I mean
he can get a little love, but I'll be honest, like, he's lost a lot of credibility. It was like he wasn't paying attention on a broadcast like a week ago. And then I don't know if you saw, I know you don't follow the NFL.
Football?
Yeah, you heard about the football thing where he said one player was going to have a big game and he's been out the entire season.
I did. And that's why I think, you know, when you're looking for that sort of specific sort of news, you go to, you know, the beat writers, you go to the Brooklyn Buzz because they are team specific. And I think that's what a lot of fans do clamor for. And it is always fun on social media, you know, for the conversation and more general sort of topics for like JBT and The Outlet. But if you haven't seen Creed 2 yet, Max Kellerman could be a supporting actor nomination for the Golden Globes. He's in it plenty. But Nick, what were the sort of free agency rumors that have been making the news? Obviously, I think it was Brian Windhorst, was it, that brought it up?
Yeah, the trade rumors mentioning, you know, it looks like the Nets aren't going to be sellers at the deadline. They're going to be buyers and looking to go after players to add to their chance of getting to the playoffs. And that's been the first time, you know, we've heard that from the Nets in a long time. And I think it's something interesting, but, you know, I'll let you break it down first and give your take, and then I'll go after you.
Yeah, I mean, Nick, we chatted about it just obviously in passing before the game was starting. And to me, it doesn't make a heap of sense because I don't think the Nets can really add any person or any player of value that is going to dramatically change them. Unless it were to be in, you know, a possible trade if someone were to will on, or maybe might be high on a Kenneth Faried or even a Shabazz Napier, who I still think has some value in the league, you know, with plenty of teams who could still use, you know, a decent backup point guard. So for me, it'd be about like who can we acquire? What is their deal? You know, is it expiring? Is it long-term money? All these sort of things are the things to consider when, you know, the trade deadline comes around in February. I think that at the same time, you know, you look at Damari Carroll or Jared Dudley, these sort of guys and Kenneth Faried, all these sort of guys that other teams might want or who are on expirings, are the Nets going to sell off on those guys? I think you need to look at it from both sides. I I mean, that's just me. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who is going to add any value that is going to take this Nets team even better, because I think it would take away from the team cohesion and chemistry. And I think, you know, if you're talking about maybe like a Dante Cunningham, these sort of guys that can just add a little bit, be a just nice sort of vet role presence, then I can possibly see it. But at the same time, this team is gelling so well right now in terms of the rotations, in terms of just on and off the court. Everything is working so well that I don't know who you're going to add that's going to benefit it even more.
Yeah, the only players that I could think of, it would have to be a star type player. You know, adding another, you know, solid player, which I think the Nets have a lot of right now, and they're going to get another great player back in LeVert. I think at this time, it would be looking at like some type of all-star forward. And I don't think there's necessarily any available that fit the Nets' needs. If someone comes up on the market, you know, a team has a really bad stretch and they're looking to kind of tank, get rid of one of their stars, yeah, maybe the Nets can get in there. They have the extra first-round pick. I wouldn't trade necessarily any of the young core. So that'd probably be the only way for me.
Could you see possibly a Miami who are, you know, or a Washington, these sort of teams who, you know, sort of on the fringes, or Orlando, these sort of lesser teams, you know, who might be on the fringes but also might be wanting to sell off? I think Miami seems, to me, they should be a seller, because obviously what they have in terms of their absolute glut of all these sort of guys on weird long-term contracts. Is there anyone on, obviously, I know I'm a big fan of Justice Winslow. I've mentioned Brandon Ingram from the Lakers as well. You know, any of these sort of names appeal to you at all, Nick?
Yeah, I think with the Miami situation, it's contract-wise where you're not necessarily looking to, you know, take on one of those guys. Maybe if it was a Winslow, but it looks like they're kind of really bought into him and they want to keep him long-term because he's one of the only young pieces they have. I think Washington and Bradley Beal maybe would make some sense, because it's not like you're trading for a bad deal. You know, he's on a solid deal. It's just like you have to decide if, you know, LeVert can play small forward or Beal can play small forward moving forward. We know the NBA is getting smaller, so that maybe be something to consider depending on how much Washington would want. I don't think anyone in Orlando really like strikes my interest. You know, maybe Terrence Ross, but how much are they asking for, and is it going to really make the Nets that much better? I think it would have to be more so with like a surprise star asking for a trade.
Yeah, I mean, I'll throw a, you know, another name at you, because I know a lot of people are all about the trade machine and such. Does a Rodney Hood make any sense for the Nets?
Not really. I don't think he's not very efficient. You know, he needs to put up a lot of shots. He's more of a volume scorer. Defensively, he's inconsistent. And that whole attitude thing with the Cavs last year, where they called for him to play and he wouldn't play in the, what was it, either the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals. Like, you don't want that with your team.
Yep. I think one that might intrigue some fans, and we're not going to talk about Jabari Parker, but it is another Bull, Bobby Portis. Does that interest you at all as a fan, Nick?
Maybe a little. He adds something that the Nets don't have necessarily, but there's been some concern about his character as well. They've called his like nickname going to his rookie season was like Crazy Eyes Portis. So like, he punched his teammate in the face last year. So I don't know if necessarily if he's a great culture fit either. I mean, I can see the skill set interest, but overall culture-wise, I'm not sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll obviously watch this space and we'll be updating you plenty. But, Nick, in terms of one more thing, I know it's sort of been a focal point for Nets Twitter as well. We sort of touched on it in terms of the Nets as sellers, and Damari Carroll obviously being the obvious candidate. Some people even bring up Ed Davis or Shabazz Napier. What are your thoughts on, obviously, those guys? And, you know, would you, if you were Sean Marks, take them on for a second rounder, a late first rounder? What are your thoughts?
I probably wouldn't do it at this point. I think in the 7-game win streak, you know, you possibly make the playoffs. The culture is officially there. You know, what Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson will do if they can get into the playoffs, it'll really set the tone and bring some more excitement to Brooklyn, which could help them free agency. So I don't think a second-round pick is really worth it. We know the franchise isn't very frugal, so they could end up buying a pick in the draft in the second round if they really wanted another one. And I think they might have an extra one going to the second round this year anyways. So it's not a big deal in my opinion. You have the extra first two. I would just keep the guys, let this kind of roll out.
Absolutely. Any final thoughts, Nick?
Yeah, the only people I would consider trading, just to end one more point, is maybe Shabazz or Kenneth Reed, since they don't have a big role with the team. But I definitely wouldn't trade Ed Davis. I think Damari and Jared Dudley provide too much of a veteran presence for the young guys to trade them as well.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, my friend. And hopefully we can make it 8 rather than 7.
Yes, sir. That's what we're hoping for. Every time we talk, another win is going to happen, Jack. As always, you can follow The Buzz, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also, a quick shout out for OTG. Jack is writing a newsletter for OTG. It's going to be dropping every week, featuring some of the best content. You know, if you want to subscribe, head to the site. We're going to have it updated tomorrow where you can just add your email. We'll send it to you every week.